I remember going to this huge youth gathering when I was in seventh grade called Super Night. It was in Rochester, Minnesota. It was a whole night-long adventure with food and games, etc. And we gathered in this megachurch. There were hundreds of kids. And we sat in what felt like an auditorium, but it actually was the sanctuary. They had subs and pizza and chicken and candy and soda and tons of food that a junior high kid with crazy good metabolism would love. I can't handle that stuff anymore. It gives me heartburn just thinking about it. But we were supposed to go off to all these YMCAs across Rochester that night, and we were going to get fueled up on food. Literally, Super Night, the whole thing was all night long. We'd be bussed between locations. Different games, places, arcades, rec centers, whatever. So the point of this was to get us all together for fellowship and fun, food, and then go off for fun. But I didn't realize at the time, as a naive seventh grader, that this was sort of a evangelical, evangelistic opportunity, or in some ways like a trap. Depends on how you look at it. But before we would get to eat all that good food and go out and have fun, we had work to do. We had to watch a video, and thinking back now, it was a movie I think was probably from the Left Behind series, you know, this apocalyptic series. And basically, it was kind of a scare tactic for us. It was supposed to conjure up fear, it was used to call people to repentance, even lead congregants to some sort of conversion, to scare you straight. And I vividly remember the storyline of this. It's about this boy who goes to school like any other day. He was a junior high student, just like us, so surprise, surprise. He has this great day. He's a good person. He's a good student. When the day wraps up, like any other day, he says goodnight to his parents, his older sister, goes to bed, and while the rest of his family are busy with their lives. Next morning, he wakes up, and tons of people are missing, including his baby sister. His infant sister, literally. There's this news reporter on TV that says all these people are gone. The rapture has happened and people are freaking out. There's chaos. Basically, it's too late. These folks missed the boat. Jesus called these people home in the middle of the night, and the young man was doomed with the rest of his family to wander the earth, reminded of how they messed up because they didn't get saved in time. Things got dark really quick. It was this apocalyptic end time movie sort of meant to scare you straight about Jesus. Jesus had hit the reset button and started things over, resulting in a new reality for everybody. Yeah, and I will never forget that. It was vivid. It was terrifying. After that was over, we worshiped, we ate, and then we went off to all of our various little things across town all night long. Super night. Control Alt Delete. I think in some ways, apocalyptic movies and literature, they're meant to evoke fear. But in doing this, they kind of miss the point of apocalyptic scripture. Apocalyptic scripture, this end-timey stuff, unlike these movies and books, it's not meant to just evoke fear or a sense of urgency or something like that, but also peace. Peace. They evoke fear because the end is so final, it seems scary. It results in the upending of all that is normal. All the systems we have in place, everything seems so chaotic and turned on its head, so out of control. However, these movies also evoke a strange sense of peace, I think. Because that chaos, that ending of all systems as they are, it's not really the end, as Jesus says in our scripture, but it's just the birth pangs. And birth pangs are just that. They're a precursor to birth, to newness, to something different. They hurt like hell, so I've heard, but they ain't hell. You know, this morning I want to talk a little bit about the scripture. Because I think there's something in it that is very important in this day and age, a time in which I believe many are questioning what it means to be a Christian. And churches, I think, are having to figure out how they fit into this equation, what it means to be a Christian. So in a sense, when Jesus talks about the end times in our scripture today, it ain't the end. It's a hitting of the reset button, the Control-Alt-Delete, if you were, so that the system might reboot anew. So I want to talk about this morning. Control-Alt-Delete. Control-Alt-Delete. I always chuckle when I call tech support for things, and the first thing they ask when I'm trying to get help on some church software, when I'm having a problem, they ask, you know, is it plugged in? Is your computer plugged in? Is it on? Have you restarted it? You know, there's a reason for this. If there is a problem resetting, getting a fresh start, that ain't a bad way to go about doing things. God has done this in Scripture. God has done this with the flood. Don't want to be too simplistic there, but if there's a problem, sometimes resetting and getting a fresh start is not a bad way to resolve it. So in our scripture today, we hear about this again. Our gospel lesson from Mark tells us this. Jesus foretells the destruction of the temple. The temple is about to be destroyed, he says. The temple, in his day, was the epicenter of Jewish life. It would be like the White House in our country, or the Vatican, or something of that scale being taken down. People wouldn't know what to do. It would be like a world-altering thing. Mark's gospel, is the earliest of the written gospels, even though most of us have learned the order as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's actually Mark, Matthew, Luke, John. Mark was probably written right after the temple fell. And in this scripture, I think in some ways it is Mark trying to reconcile what the heck happened with this temple. But whatever the case is, we hear that as Jesus is coming out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, Rabbi, what huge stones and huge buildings." Jesus says to them, "You see these buildings? Not one will be left. Not one stone. All of them are going to come down." And later, when Jesus and his disciples were sitting across from the temple on a mountainside, they asked him, "Hey, Jesus, when is this going to happen?" How would they know? Well, he goes on to describe then the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and natural disasters and famines and how these things are the beginning of the birth pangs. Remember? The beginning of the birth pangs. But these in themselves are not the end times. They're just the beginning of the labor pains, the birth pangs, the beginning of the system reset, the control alt delete. I think we have to keep in mind that when Jesus was asked, "Look, teacher, what large stones and large buildings?" And he responds and says, "Not one stone will be left here upon the other, all will be thrown down." It's that he said in other passages in the scripture that this wondrous building, this temple, had been built off the sweat and the exploitation of the widows and the poor. Samuel Cruz is a Union Theological Seminary professor, and he says this about the temple. He says, quote, "It was for this reason that, although it looked magnificent and pure, it was truly putrescent inside," end quote. Thus, the destruction of the magnificent temple might be trouble for those that maintain power and prestige based on its survival, like the church, in sustaining it, keeping it going, in keeping the temple alive and running. But for the common faithful widow, it was built off of their exploitation. Her tithes keep the priests fat and happy. Guys like me, whose survival depends on it. But if the temple isn't giving and protecting and working on behalf of the poor and the disenfranchised and the marginalized and the powerless, if it's not using its responsibility, its power for good, in the words of now the late Stan Lee, "With great power comes great responsibility." Jesus, I think, is saying there needs to be a control alt delete moment, a system restart, because if God ain't the operating system, then there's a problem and it needs to be restarted. Control alt delete. Sam Cruz also says, quote, "One of the challenges for us in the 21st century in living in one of the most affluent countries in the world is that we can't truly relate to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is suggesting that there is sin in our world and that a complete apocalyptic transformation is therefore required. The challenge for us is that sin has become a non-contextual spiritual construction with no relevance in our real lives. However, for Jesus, sin is very contextual. It means oppression, exploitation, abuse of the widow, orphaned, migrant, transgender people. Therefore, the system that has been built from evil must be destroyed and built anew." End quote. Control, alt, delete. I think that's what Jesus is saying today in our scripture when he says the temple is going to come down. Friends, this system, the system that needs to be reset, it could be many different things, right? It might be the oppressive structures of society when we think about this today. But what else? It could even include our churches, our temples, and their institutions. Perhaps one of the systems Jesus needs to reset, the system of our hearts. "Look at those stones, Jesus," the disciples say. Check out those buildings. Well, if a church is just a building, if it's just worship and ritual and stained glass rather than that for which it stands, then I think you need to hit Control-Alt-Delete. Look at those buildings, the disciples say to Jesus. If being in love with a country, a nation, and its government and its systems, rather than what it stands for, I think Jesus would say, Control-Alt-Delete. Look at those stones, Jesus, the disciples say. Well, if being in love with a symbol rather than what it stands for, and there are all sorts of symbols that we covet, in church, in our country, in the world, then perhaps we need to do a Control-Alt-Delete, I think Jesus might say. Look at those stones, the disciples say. If we are in love with somebody's stones, their ability to talk tough rather than love hard, if we are in love with a strong man, a tough guy, a guy who's going to get it done, perhaps we need someone that doesn't have big old stones, but rather someone who rolls away stones in our life. Control-Alt-Delete, I think Jesus would say. In our scripture, Jesus points to a time when these buildings and systems won't be around. He sees a problem. He says there's a virus on your PC, on your operating system, on your way of living in the world. He sees that the buildings, the church, the temple, the governmental structures of his time were built upon the poor, the widow, the orphan, and those in general who lack power, with the sweat of their brow and the pain of their backs. Systems have been built and exploited, I believe he would say. And so, Control-Alt-Delete. Apocalyptic scripture, I believe, shouldn't just evoke fear for the sense of fear or urgency or something like that, but it should also evoke peace. Peace. Because in upending all that is normal, all the systems we have in place, ending all systems as they are, it really isn't the end, as Jesus says in our scripture, but really just the birth pangs, remember? The precursor to birth, to newness, to something different, a system refresh. We are at a time, perhaps, when we, in the words of Reverend William Barber, need to find our moral center, when we may have to do a Control-Alt-Delete to reset the system to do so. And so Jesus says, Control-Alt-Delete. He is the operating system. And there ain't a problem with the OS. There's a problem with us, the operators. Amen.